Good morning. The Gemara started out asking why a person who denies Tchias HaMeisim doesn't have Tchias HaMeisim, and the Gemara answered, because everything Hashem does is Mida Keneged Mida, and the Gemara brought a proof from the story of Elisha and the king's officer who Elisha said that tomorrow wheat and barley will be practically free, and the king's officer mocked him, and Elisha said, it's going to happen, and you're not going to see it. And sure enough,
you're going to see it.
You're going to see it, but you're not going to eat from it. And sure enough, that's what happened. So you see that Hashem acts mida keneged mida. The Gemara asked, how do you know that that's because of mida keneged mida? Maybe that's because of a different principle. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Kilolat chacham afilu b'chinam hiba. The curse of a chacham comes true even for nothing. And the Gemara answered, because there's an extra word in the pasuk, the word bashar, which means because of the shar. The word shar, in addition to meaning gate, also means prices. And so you see that it's because of his laughing about the price or mocking about the prices. But the Gemara entertained the possibility that it's because of kilolat chacham afilu b'chinam hiba. The curse of a wise man comes true even for nothing. And that's what I want to talk about today. Why?
This wasn't a case for nothing.
So that's a good question. Okay. And the Mefarshim asked that question. But what I want to talk about is more about the principle, okay, of and Gemara entertains the possibility as a curse that is for nothing, right? I want to talk about the principle of why would that be true? Okay. Now, the question that you asked, a parish called the Sanhedri Ketana asked this question by Rav Avram Heschel Bornstein, who was the Rav of Koznitz. Okay. And he asked your question. Okay. It wasn't for nothing. Okay. So the Gemara says that if it was simply that he denied the words of a Navi, then he's Chayiv Misa. But who says he's Chayiv Misa immediately? People do things for which they're Chayiv Misa, and they die at some point. Okay. So the fact that he died immediately, okay, that would be because of Elisha's curse. Okay. And it was for nothing in the sense that it wasn't necessary, because he would have died anyway for denying the words of a Navi. Okay. So in that sense, it was a kilas chinam. It was for no reason. For no purpose. That's how he explains it. Okay. It's definitely a good question. Now the concept in general of kilat chacham is actually Gemara Makos Daf Yud Aleph. So those learning Daf Yomi will get there before too long. But the Gemara there says, Makos Daf Yud Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Kilat Chacham Afilu B'chinam Hiba. The curse of a Chacham, even for nothing, it comes true. Minale. From where do we know this? Me'achitofel. From Achitofel. When David dug the cisterns under the base of Megdash, the waters of the depth rose up and wanted to drown the earth. Amar David. David said, "Mika diyada ishar lemichtav shem mishte b'toma." David asked, "Does anyone know whether it's permitted to write Hashem's name and throw it in the depths? V'nayach, and the waters will calm down." Gemara says nobody answered him. Amar, David said, Kol yodea lomar v'ino omer yechanek v'grono. Anyone who knows and doesn't say should choke. Nasa Achitofel kal v'chomer batzvo. Achitofel then made a kal v'chomer, and he said, Uma lasot shalom v'nish lishto amra tara shmi ha'nechtav v'kdushay mechel amayim. In order to make peace between a husband and wife, my name, meaning case of a sota, my name may be erased. So kol olam kulo alachad v'kama. Certainly, to save the whole world, my name could be erased. Amar le shari. So he told David that it's permitted. Katav shem achasva b'shadav tahoma. David wrote Hashem's name on a piece of clay and threw it into the depths of the water. Nachat, the waters calmed down. The kam beduchte and stood in the right place. Vafilu hachi k'tiv v'achitofel ra'aki lo nestasat. So even so, it says Achitofel saw that his plan was not carried through by Yechanek, and he committed suicide. He choked himself. Okay. Now, that's later. Achitofel teamed up with Avshalom, David's son who rebelled, and when the plot failed, Achitofel choked himself, so David's curse was fulfilled. Now, David's curse was al-chinam, it was for nothing, because in the end, someone did tell him. So, why should the curse be fulfilled if the person did tell David what he wanted to know? Because the curse of a chacham, even for nothing, it comes true. And the Gemara goes on, Amar Rabbi Abahu, kilat chacham afilu al tenai hiba. Similarly, a curse of a chacham, even if it's conditional, it comes true. Now, some farshim point out, the Ramban points out that the case of Achitofel is also on a condition. Okay. But it comes true from Eli. As Eli said to Shmuel, if you keep a secret from me, then the nevuah that you had, Shmuel had a nevuah about that Eli's children would die. He didn't want to tell Eli. And Eli said, if you keep a secret from me, then the same thing should happen to you. And the curse was fulfilled because Shmuel's children did not go in the ways of Shmuel. Okay. So that's the Gemara. Question is, why should a curse that's uttered for nothing or on a condition come true if the condition is not fulfilled? And so we're going to see several different approaches to that. The first one is the Ritva in Makos. A lot of these Mepharshim are in Makos, Daf Yud Aleph, which is where that sugya is. So the Ritva says, Miu lav chinam mamash. It wasn't really for nothing. In fact, it couldn't be for nothing because there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Kilalat chinam lo tavo. A curse uttered for nothing will not come true. Okay. So we have a contradiction between our Gemara and a pasuk in Mishlei. How could our Gemara contradict a pasuk? So the answer is that our Gemara doesn't mean really for nothing. Okay? It wasn't for nothing. David was deeply concerned that nobody was helping him out. The world was about to be flooded by these waters of the depth. David was pleading for help. Nobody was helping him. That's not for nothing. David was in pain. It's chinam in the sense that it wasn't necessary. It was maybe a little exaggerated, a little excess overreaction, or however you would describe it. But in some sense, the Ritva is saying, in some sense, it was for nothing. And the Gemara says it was in some sense for nothing. But the Ritva is saying it's not entirely for nothing. Well, he doesn't, but we'll come to it. The Ein Eliyahu, which is a 19th century commentary on Ein Yaakov by a Lithuanian Gadol, Rav Eliyahu Shik, he says similarly that it wasn't for nothing. It didn't come, but he explains a little differently. didn't come true for nothing. David uttered this curse. This curse was out there. Then when Achitophel did something to merit being punished, that curse caught up with him. What did Achitophel merit? He rebelled against David together with Avshalom. Okay. And so that curse that was hanging out there now rested. The curse was uttered unnecessarily, but it then found a place to rest when Achitophel sinned. He says, "Aval bemet harashut netuna v'im lo yechta od lo tikayem haklalah." The person who was the subject of the curse would never sin, then he'd be safe. So that's the Ein Eliyahu.
Same question. The answer on each rule.
So he says regarding Shmuel that, and this is a touchy subject because we're all parents, and sometimes our children don't come out exactly the way we imagined, you know. So he says that if a person's children don't turn out properly, then the person has at least some responsibility. And so Eli cursed Shmuel's children, okay, because of whatever failing Shmuel had as a parent, it gave the curse a room to take effect.
Just ask the children, they'll tell you what you did wrong.
Yeah. it's a difficult subject, and there's a story somebody said to the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav, his children said that there are places in davening in particular where a person should daven for the spiritual success of his children, Av HaRava and Brachas HaTorah and Baal Tzion. But Brisker Rav was known that he said that he fasted and he cried. Okay. But somebody said to him, Brisker Rav's children, many of them great Talmid Chachamim, someone said to him, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And he answered, it depends how hard the wind is blowing. Okay. In difficult times, okay, the wind is blowing very hard, the apple could fall far from the tree. Mm-hmm. So it's a very touchy subject. Mm-hmm. But since you asked, that's what he says. Okay. Rav Dessler, Michtam Eliyahu, also addresses, and he addresses this Gemara in two slightly different ways. He says that, again, even though the Gemara calls it a kilalat chacham, he calls it kilalat chinam, okay, for no reason, but he says, like the Ritva says, that there has to be some other catalyst for it to come true, okay? But he adds a twist, which is, and he has an entire essay on this. This is in Chelek Dalet, page 222. But he has a whole essay in Chelek Aleph, in which he discusses that none of us really knows why he's here. Maybe I am in this world merely as an accessory to someone else. I exist in his merit. And certainly everybody to some extent exists in the merit of tzaddikim. Okay, somehow whether we directly serve the tzaddik, whether we live next door to the tzaddik, the tzaddik needs a next door neighbor, maybe we never interact with him at all, but tzaddik needs a next door neighbor. Okay? So we happen to be that next door neighbor. Okay? So to the extent that Achitophel's existence or any person's existence is dependent on the merit of that tzaddik, if that tzaddik now is upset at that person, if that tzaddik has some reason, however small, to curse that person, okay, and surely he wouldn't curse the person for no reason at all. So it's it's a curse on a condition or a curse for nothing, but like the ritva says, it has to have some reason. It's not absolutely for nothing. That person now has lost the protection. He existed to the extent that he existed in the merit of that tzaddik. He's lost that protection, and now the curse. There's room for the curse to take effect. That is the other thing he says is that the tzaddik. It would be inconceivable for the tzaddik to utter the curse, to have uttered the curse, unless there was already some reason. So again, and this is important in Agaditas in general. Okay, Gemara uses a lot of times blanket terms. They have to be understood in context. They have to be understood according to the value system of the people who said them and the value system of the people they're talking about. So Chazal said that David uttered a curse for nothing. Okay, doesn't mean for nothing. It's all relatively speaking compared to, you know, what could have been. Okay. So that is one explanation. That's in Chelek Dalet.
I thought maybe this understood here, but that about somebody just being a keli or hanging around for tzaddik was non-Jewish people, like the famous story that I built the castle so the tzaddik could sit in the shade.
That's a Jewish person.
He's got a purpose, and if he's not fulfilling his purpose, he's not doing his tafkid, then he could become quickly.
Okay, that's fine. That doesn't contradict what I said. Yeah. It could be that a person's current existence. Okay? Maybe I am here today only because one of my children or my great 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 grandchildren will be a Gadol Hador. It could be. It doesn't mean I didn't have a purpose, but who knows if I'm fulfilling my purpose.
I understand what you said. A Jewish person is not just sent just to be
I'm agreeing with you. In Michtam Eliyahu Chelek He, page 57, explains this concept a little differently. They're related, they overlap, but it's a little different. He asks a question on this week's Parsha. Okay. The Medrash Rashi brings, Medrash, regarding the Akedah, says, Achar HaDvarim Ha'ileh, after these words, Hashem spoke to Avram and said, take your son and offer him as a sacrifice. What's after these words? So Rashi brings from the Medrash that there was a conversation between Yishmael and Yitzchak. And Yishmael said, I wasn't circumcised until I was 13. I could have stopped it. But I'm such a tzaddik that I didn't stop it. You were 8 days old. Big deal. Right. And Yitzchak responded, if Hashem would tell me to sacrifice myself as a korban, I would. Okay. And therefore, because of that, of those words, Hashem told Avram, take Yitzchak as a korban. So Michtam Eliyahu asks, so Yitzchak said that. Why does that have to result in it happening? So Michtam Eliyahu explains, we know Chazal say that it's Gemara in Masechet Shabbos that Chotamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emet, Hashem's seal is truth. Because Hashem's seal is truth, and everything Hashem says has to have some fulfillment, and likewise, everything a tzaddik says has to have some fulfillment. So when Yitzchak said, if Hashem would say, be offered as a korban, I'd be offered as a korban, if that had not been fulfilled, it would be a lie. The unfulfilled promise, that unfulfilled potential that Yitzchak had, that he demonstrated with his statement, as long as it was unfulfilled, it would be a lie. And Hashem is truth. So Hashem can't tolerate a lie. Okay. Now, that's a tzaddik. Regular people are not held to such a standard. They say lies all the time, not in the sense of they make unfulfilled statements all the time, and that the world, the regular person is not held to that standard. But Yitzchak is held to that standard. If his offer to be a karban was not fulfilled, and that's why Avram. Why couldn't Avram, when the Malach told Avram, Don't slaughter Yitzchak. Why didn't Avram just pack up and go home? Avram looked around and found a ram to offer. Why? Because the willingness, the potential had to be fulfilled. Otherwise, the whole thing would have been a lie. On a very high level of truth that Hashem subscribes to. Okay. In the same way, when a chacham, here synonymous with a tzaddik, utters a curse, okay, it's because the, and in this way it's similar to what he said in Chelek Dalet, the Chacham sees in the, he wouldn't utter the curse unless he saw in the person some failing that needs to be addressed. Okay. And in the case of Achitofel, okay, from the fact that after David uttered the curse, Achitofel worked out this Kal V'chomer to answer the question, that shows Achitofel could have done it beforehand. And for whatever reason, he wasn't coming forward. Okay? So there was something there. There was a failing for the curse to rest on. And David knew that. Or David, consciously or unconsciously, David knew that, or he wouldn't have uttered the curse in the first place. Okay. And so now that curse is out there, it has to be fulfilled because Hashem's seal is truth, and the tzaddik, on the level where the tzaddik exists, truth has to come out.
Achitofel was supposed to be very wise.
Achitofel was very wise.
So wouldn't he know this? And if so, why would he have an incentive to answer? Was he going to be cursed anyway?
Well, if you learn, as we've said, that the curse nevertheless could only come true if he later sinned, so he wasn't planning at that time to sin. So that could be answered the question. So that is the Michtam Eliyahu, Chelek Hei, page 57. So all of that is according to the first approach of the Ritva, and the Ramban says this as well, that chinam, for nothing, doesn't really mean for nothing. There has to be some additional catalyst to make the to give the curse a place to rest. The second approach is the approach of Maharal. And this is in Nativ HaTorah, Perek Yud Beis, in the Blue Maharals, it's on page Taf Tzadi Dalet. And he says that Kilat Tamei Chacham Afilu V'chinam Ba, the curse of a Tamei Chacham comes true even for nothing. Why? Ki Shar Bnei Adam Nechshavim Chasirim Be'erach Ma'alat Tamei Chacham. The Ritva said that there has to be a place for the curse to rest. The Maharal says, by definition, there is a place for the curse to rest, because the void between where the Chacham is and where everybody else is, that void itself is a place to rest. A person who's not a Chacham is by definition deficient compared to the Chacham. And therefore the curse has a place to rest. And according to Maharal, the Maharal is understood to be saying that actually for nothing, literally without any other catalyst, that any other chait, the curse of the Chacham could come true. So that's the Maharal. I'm sorry? Correct. He's by definition on a different level than the Chacham. Chacham doesn't mean IQ. Chacham doesn't mean IQ. It means a person who used his best of his abilities to learn Torah and become a Chacham and a Tzaddik. Without getting into your neshama, it's an observable fact that different people have different potential. Correct. A third approach. Now we actually find Gemara brings from Achitofel that, or from Shmuel, that curse on a condition. And I'm mixing up in this discussion really two different statements of the Gemara: a curse that's uttered for nothing and a curse that's uttered on a condition. The Ramban, as I mentioned, Ramban explains that the first case also, the case of Achitofel also, was a curse on a condition. It says, if someone doesn't tell me the answer, he should choke. So it also was on a condition. And so based on that, I'm not, you know, perhaps one could more surgically explore differences between these two situations of for nothing and on a condition. We find curses in the Torah that are uttered on condition that came true. One, there's I mentioned the other day, which is really a medrash, and Rashi brings it, it's not a pasuk, that Yehuda cursed himself. He said, if I don't bring Binyamin back, v'chatati l'cha kol hayamim, I will have sinned to you eternally. And Rashi brings that Yehuda could find no rest in Olam Haba until Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for him. But there is actually an explicit case in the Torah of somebody being cursed unknowingly and it becoming true. And that is where Yaakov said, whoever stole Lavan's idols should die. Okay. Now, Rachel stole Yaakov's Lavan's idols. It wasn't for nothing. It wasn't even on a condition. But Yaakov, we know Yaakov did not intend, it's parallel to these other cases, Yaakov certainly did not intend to curse Rachel. If Yaakov had any idea that Rachel had stolen the idols, Yaakov would not have said that. Right? So it's a curse coming true in a way that the person who uttered it never intended, which is similar to a curse uttered for nothing or a curse uttered on a condition. Yehuda certainly did not intend to curse himself if he brought back Binyamin, and he did bring back Binyamin, and Shmuel and Eli did not really intend to curse Shmuel's children. He was just trying to get Shmuel to tell him the nevuah. Okay. So Zohar says regarding Yaakov and Rachel. This is in Parshas Vayishlach, Daf Kuf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yossi Amar Ktiv Kilalat Chinam Lo Tavo. We still need to come back to that pasuk in Mishlei that I mentioned that seems to contradict our Gemara, where our Gemara seems to contradict the pasuk in Mishlei because the pasuk in Mishlei came first. It says the curse of a chacham Lo Tavo, Lamed Aleph, will not come true. V'ukmua Lo Bevav. Was a kri uchtiv on the pasuk. It's written one way and it's read a different way. It's written Lamed Aleph and it's read Lamed Vav. Now, we have this in Davening too, in Mizmor Latoda. Also, there's a kri uchtiv where it's Lamed Aleph versus Lamed Vav. One thing you see, just parenthetically, is how poor our pronunciation of Hebrew is, because we don't distinguish between Lamed Aleph and Lamed Vav. We pronounce them the same way, but you see that they are supposed to be pronounced differently, and otherwise there couldn't be a kri uchtiv. It's written one way, it's pronounced a different way. Okay. So that pasuk in Mishlei has a kri uchtiv. It says, Kilat chinam lo tavo, a curse uttered for nothing will not come true, but it's read, a curse uttered for nothing, lo, to him it will come. Okay. Now, the Vilna Gaon interprets that pasuk, meaning a curse uttered for nothing will come back on the person who uttered it. pasuk says, "Katzipor lanud, like a bird wanders; kadror lauf, like a bird of a dror is a completely wild bird." Okay? Like pasuk says, "Ukratem dror b'chol aretz," you should proclaim liberty throughout the land. That says on the liberty bell. It's a pasuk in Sefer Vayikra. Okay, so. Here it says, Katzipor lanud, like a bird wanders, kadror lauf, like a dror flies, ken kirlat chinam lo tavo. So too, the curse of the chacham, lo la midvav, will come on him. The Vilna Gaon explains the image of the two different kinds of birds. Okay? Some birds come home sooner, some birds come home later. Sooner or later, the curse will come back. A curse uttered for nothing will come back on the one who uttered it. The Sefer, this is Sefer, contemporary Sefer on Perek Chelek by Rav Shmuel Halevi Heber, who lives in Brooklyn, and he quotes a Sefer, but he only quotes it by the initials Beis Shin. The only Sefer I know with those initials is Beis Shmuel, which is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. And he doesn't say where it is, so I don't know if that's the Sefer he's referring to or not. But he says that the curse of a Jew has great power. And we'll come back to, we'll see in general, the power that the words a Jew's words have. Okay? So it has to rest on something. So if it can rest on a person who deserves it to rest on him, like David's curse rested on Achitophel, then it will. And if not, then it will come back to the person who uttered it, because it has to rest on something. So that's how he explains this idea of the curse coming back to the one who uttered it. The Zohar learns differently. Lo, to him, is referring to the Satan. A curse uttered for nothing will go to the Satan. He, if it's a curse of a tzaddik, even if he didn't mean it, since it comes out of his mouth, the Yetzirah takes it. The Yetzirah is the Satan, it's the Malach HaMaves, it's all the same. And in a time of danger, so the Yetzirah, the Satan, will store this curse away, and in a time of danger, it will come back. Yaakov Amar, Yaakov said, the one with whom you find your idols will not live. Now, in a sense, it was on a condition and it was never fulfilled, because he said, whoever you find your idols with, Lavan never found his idols. So Lavan never knew that Rachel had them. Yaakov didn't know that Rachel had them. So it was, in a sense, on a condition also. Even though Yaakov didn't know Rachel had them, and he certainly had no intention to curse Rachel. Natila lahi mila hahu satan, tishtach kavayotadi b'vnei nasha. So the satan who is found among people took that word, and in a time of sakana, because childbirth is a time of danger, there's a discussion in the Mishmura whether a woman, after she gives birth, would say birkas agomel for a person who is in danger. That's a halachic shayla. Consult your local Orthodox rabbi. But childbirth is a time of danger. Well, da taninan, and so in a time of danger, the satan has this weapon of it. This curse is a weapon that the satan has to bring it back. Well, da taninan, and because of that, we're taught olama yiftach barnash pume l'sitna. Person should never open his mouth to a satan. In Hebrew, al tiftach. Pela Satan. Don't open your mouth to Satan. A person should be careful what he says, especially about himself, okay, and about other people too, because to begin, the Satan takes that word and uses it to prosecute above and below, and that's true of every person. Kol Shekain, Mila de Chacham or Mila de Tzadika. Certainly, if it's a chacham or a tzaddik, they'll train Elaine on Nashat Rachel. For these two things, Rachel was punished. One is because the Mefarshim bring, because Yaakov delayed in fulfilling the vow that he made. That's a different discussion. And second, because the Satan took Yaakov's curse, and when Rachel was in danger in childbirth, he had that weapon available.
Does the Vilna Gaon give any examples of cutting curse, didn't find anything to rest on, and rebounded?
That wasn't the Vilna Gaon who said that. That was this Sefer Beis Shin, that I don't know what Sefer it is. It's quoted here. Okay. No. But
can we logically conclude that brachas work the same way?
Probably. In some way, because Mishnah and Sota says that Mida Tova is fulfilled faster and better than a Midas Peronius comes true. Now, it doesn't mean every bracha is fulfilled literally the way it's given. If I give you a bracha that you should win the Powerball lottery tomorrow, that doesn't mean you're going to. I saw an interesting story. There was a Hasidic Rebbe in the early 1800s, Rav Fishala of Strykov, I think was his name. And he stopped giving brachos because he gave a chassid a bracha to win the lottery. And his chassid spent his last pennies on a lottery ticket and didn't win. So Rav Fishala said, obviously, I shouldn't be giving brachos. And he said, he closed the door, I'm not giving brachos anymore. So Rav Simcha Bunim of Shischa, another great Hasidic Rebbe, said, I'm gonna get him to change his mind. He went to him and he told him, essentially, I don't remember now the Gemara that he brought, but basically what he explained to Rav Fishala is that the tzaddik's job. Oh, he said that we have this expression, tzaddik ozer v'kadosh baruch hu mekayem, right? Which incidentally is an expression that does, in those exact words, does not appear anywhere in Chazal. Okay? There is there is a pasuk that tzaddik is gozer and it will be fulfilled, but the exact words tzaddik gozer v'kadosh baruch hu mekayem is not from Chazal. Okay? But we have this with this concept. Okay? And there's a pasuk in Eov that seems to contradict it. And I don't remember the pasuk now. But so what he told him is, you can give a bracha that a person will get rich. You can give a bracha that a person will live comfortably. How that bracha is fulfilled is none of your business. That's Hashem's business. So you should not be giving brachos that somebody will win the lottery tomorrow. That's Hashem's business. How the bracha will be fulfilled. Just give brachos that people should have money, should be rich, or should be comfortable, or should not be poor, or whatever. But don't mix into Hashem's business, the details of Hashem's business. So,
lifetime overarching concept. Wishing for the environment in which you can be fulfilled versus asking for a lottery ticket.
That's true, too. Rabbi Winters, that's all I always used to say. You go for a job interview, or you go, you have a date, not any of us, our children, have dates, and whatever. Don't daven for this shidduch to be successful. Don't daven for this job interview to be successful. Daven for the right shidduch. Daven for the right job. Because we don't know if this is the right job or the right shidduch. Okay? And so it's a similar concept. Okay. I'm sorry?
The concept never goes away.
That's true.
Even
right.
If you win a lottery ticket tomorrow, the rest of your life, there are going to be issues. That's an attitude. You can always bring it.
The story, did he tell him you're going to win the lottery tomorrow or going to win the lottery?
Well, if he told him.
It could be 10 years down the road.
If he told him to go out and buy a lottery ticket, presumably he was telling him he was going to win. I don't know how the lottery in Poland in the early 1800s worked. So I don't know whether it was a continuous. I have no idea. Okay, so. All right. The Nefesh HaChaim, R' Chaim Volozhin, Shar Aleph, Perek Dalet. He's not addressing specifically our Gemara, but one of the concepts that comes out of this discussion that we've had today is the power of a Jew's speech. So, Rechaim V'lajan writes, V'zot Torat Adam, this is the law, the Torah of a person, Kol Ish Yisrael, every Jew, Al Yomar V'livo Chas Shalom, a person should not say, God forbid, Ki Ma Ani U'ma Kochi Lif'ol Masaya Shvalim Shum Inyan V'olam, who am I to affect the world? Ovnam Yavin V'yedav V'yikvav Machshavot Livo, a person should understand, he should know, and he should fix in the thoughts of his heart, Shekol Pratei Ma'asav V'diburav Machshavotav Kol Eit V'rega Lo'it Avidu Chashalom. Every detail of his deeds and his words and his thoughts at every instant is not lost. Umarabu Ma'asav U'ma'od Gadlu V'ramu. How great are his deeds and how lofty, how great and lofty they are. Shekol Achat Ola Kefi Shersha Lif'ol Pulatav G'vei Mormim. Every single deed and word and thought that every single Jew has, not just a tzaddik, every single Jew, it goes up into upper worlds, bolamot, tzachot, arim, elyonim, these upper worlds, and it has some impact. And he says in a footnote that perhaps this is the meaning of the Mishnah, Perkei Avos, beginning of Perek Beis, dam malamala mimcha, know what's above you. So we usually translate that means, you know that there's a God above you. He says, perhaps the Mishnah means, know what's above you. When you're considering how to act, know what you're doing upstairs. Know what impact you are having. Be aware of that. And then he continues, v'met ki isha chacham v'yavin et zot lamito. If a person is wise and understands this in truth, libo yachil v'kibro v'chil radah, he will tremble. B'sumo al libo al masav shalotovim chas shalom. When b'sumo al libo, when he evaluates in his heart his deeds that are, God forbid, not good, adhechanei megiim lekalkel aros b'chet kal chas shalom. How far they can reach to create destruction. It brings the Gemara, which says that Medrash Echa Rabasi when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem, the first Beis HaMikdash by Nebuchadnezzar, second Beis HaMikdash by Titus, Hashem said, you think you destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? You ground up flour that was already ground. What does that mean? The Jewish people destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. There's a Beis HaMikdash Shalmala, the Beis HaMikdash up above. And when the Beis HaMikdash above is destroyed, it follows naturally that the Beis HaMikdash below is destroyed. We destroyed the Beis HaMikdash with our actions, and we destroyed the Beis HaMikdash Shalmala with our actions, and the Beis HaMikdash, it was a foregone conclusion that the Beis HaMikdash below would be gone as well. Similarly, you know, we're taught as children, when you do a mitzvah, you build a brick in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? It doesn't mean that there's a huge kiln up there making bricks and that they're going to come down. Rashi says the physical Beis HaMikdash is going to come down in fire. Rambam disagrees. Discussion for another time. We will discuss that another time. But what it means is our mitzvahs are building the bricks of the Beis HaMikdash Shalmala, and once, so to speak, bricks, and once that's built, then the Beis HaMikdash below can be built as well. B'mehera b'yameinu, amen.